In the book of Romans, chapter number 5, we'll just get started on this chapter tonight. Probably, well, this is my goal, to get through verses 1 through 11 of Romans chapter 5. We've been talking in the book of Romans about things that we see here concerning the subject matter of justification. You can see there in your notes, the introduction says in the fourth chapter, we learned that justification was by faith, not works. It is by grace, not law. And it is by resurrection power, not human effort. In this fifth chapter of Romans, we will see the benefits and privileges which flow from justification and a contrast between the first and second Adam. So tonight, verses 1 through 11, we're going to look at the fruits of justification. And if you would follow along in your Bible, I will read these verses out loud. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. So, verses 1 through 11, that's what we want to concentrate on tonight. And we are given here in these verses several different fruits that come to us because of justification. Now, I started out here in our lesson in your notes. Keep in mind there's a difference between justification and sanctification. I did want to go through this with you, and hopefully we all understand these things. Justification is righteousness imputed, or literally given, to my account, put on my account by the Father, while sanctification is righteousness imparted or worked out in my life by the Holy Spirit. Justification is that declaration of God whereby he declares us to be righteous. He imputes righteousness to our account. But sanctification, of course, is a little bit different because that is imparted or worked out in our life by the Spirit of God. And it, like, justification happens like that. But sanctification happens over time. Okay, justification is like a moment of time or a blinking of an eye where God just declares us to be righteous. But then sanctification, and I think sometimes people make a mistake by thinking it happens right away, but it doesn't. It takes time. It's over a long period of time. In fact, I think this is true. I hope you agree with me. I think the Bible shows us this. You and I will be going through sanctification until we get to heaven. Yeah, we will be becoming more and more like Christ as the years go by. I don't think on earth we'll ever reach the end of sanctification. So there's a difference. And then number two there, justification is my standing before God in heaven, while sanctification is my standing before men on earth. So it's how God sees me in heaven, that's justification. Sanctification is how man sees me here on earth. So hopefully we are being sanctified, and every one of us are becoming more and more like our Savior as the weeks and months and years go by. And then number three, justification never changes, while sanctification constantly changes. I hope that each one of us are more like Christ today than we were 10 years ago. I hope that all of us are living a lifestyle whereby people see more of Jesus in us today than they did 10 or 15 years ago. You know, isn't it a shame, though, with some folks when that doesn't take place? Because in some people, it's not taking place like it should. Sanctification should be constantly changing in your life and mine. So then we get into the actual verses here, and we have some of the fruits of justification listed. According to verse number one, we have peace with God. Notice verse one says, therefore, being justified, please notice, not by works, but by faith, we have, what does it say? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Before we got saved, we were enemies of God. Before we were saved, Ephesians says we were at enmity with God. It's because of our sin, and sin separates between man and God. But Jesus paid for that sin. And once we got justified, we now have peace with God because of the justification that the Lord gives to us, the righteousness of Christ. We have peace with God. Now we're no longer enemies. Now we are, in fact, friends of God and in God's family. See, Jesus is the one responsible for that. I put this in your notes also. He's the maker of our peace, and he's also the maintainer of our peace. All right? He's the one that made the peace possible, and then he's the one that makes sure that we still have that year after year after year. And I would encourage all of us to stay close to him and walk with him so that that peace is maintained day by day by day all the way through our life. I was working on the next chapter in 1 Samuel, and that's chapter 15. And we may get into that a little bit this coming Sunday morning. But we're learning there about Saul. I don't want to give too much away because we are going to get there, of course, if you come to Sunday school. But Saul and his relationship with God did things that made it so that his relationship with God was strained, okay? And you'll see it when we get there, but near the end of chapter 15, Saul and Samuel, God's prophet, Saul and Samuel actually depart and go different ways. And according to the end of chapter 15, Samuel had almost no dealings with Saul from that day until the day Samuel died. But wait, it was all because of Saul's bad choices in his life. See? So there's a lesson there. And again, I don't want to give too much away because we are going to go through that in Sunday school. But there's a lesson or an application there for each one of us. If we want that peace with God to be maintained and we want to really be able to enjoy that, we need to walk with God. We need to stay close to him and try our best to obey him and do what he's asking us to do in our life. So one of the fruits of justification that's listed here is peace with God. I'm going to add something, and I'm not adding to the Bible, okay? Just adding to the lesson here tonight. We not only have peace with God, but because we have peace with God, we also have the peace of God to be with us and to help us through life. There's so much that happens in the world, isn't there, that would rob us of our peace. But because we know God and because we're justified, because we're saved, because we're born again, because we have the peace with God, we can also have in this life the peace of God to help us to go through whatever it is that we have to go through. Whether it's health changes in the family, or death in the family, or a bad turn of the economy, or whatever it might be, you can have the peace of God to help you through whatever it is that you have to face. So, one of the fruits of justification, again, is peace with God. In verse number two, We also have access to God. Verse number 2 says, by whom, that's referring back to our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access, notice again, not by works, but by faith, into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have access to God. Why? Because justification has taken place. When is the best time? I'm not talking about getting saved now, okay? Because you're already saved. When is the best time for you to go to God?
Always,
all the time. How about whenever you have a need? Right? I mean, because really there is no set time, right? Once you're justified, listen, oh, I hope you get a hold of this and let it just ring in your heart. Once you're justified, you have access to God anytime. Anytime. And all the time. About anything and everything. It doesn't really matter. Isn't that wonderful to think about? Here I am, and I have this, and I'm guessing some of you do probably as well, but I can be in bed and I can be sound asleep and all of a sudden I'll wake up. And then I can't get back to sleep. And usually when that happens, the thought comes to mind, who am I supposed to pray for, Lord? Because obviously I'm awake for some reason, so I might as well spend the time talking with you about whoever it is. And so I ask the Lord to show me and lay somebody on my heart. And when that happens, I try to mention to the Lord that person and their needs and so forth. And sometimes I don't even know the need. I may have told you this already, but when Bill Batterman was still alive, there was a night about 3 in the morning where I had one of those situations. And God laid him strongly on my heart. And the next time I saw them, I found out that that was the very time that he was going to the ER because of his health was declining. Well, that was the Lord, wasn't it? That was the Lord waking me up to pray for Bill in that situation. And God does that for you sometimes, I'm sure, if you're sensitive to him and awake to what he's asking for. But isn't it good to know that you don't need an appointment at 3 in the morning to go see the Lord? Amen. I mean, you can just, right there and then, just talk to him about whatever it is and ask him to help you. And it's true not only for somebody that's in need, it's true when you're in need. There's nothing for you to worry about when you need to talk with God about something. There's nothing for you to worry about because you and I have instant access anytime we need it. All because of justification. By whom also, verse 2 says, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The person of access, of course, is Jesus Christ. We could never achieve that by ourselves. He is the one that made that possible. The power of access is faith. Faith in what Jesus has done and faith in what Jesus has said to us. The product of access is grace. Grace to be saved and grace for Christian living. And the perseverance of access is that we stand. And the idea there is being secure and anchored. We have it forever. So we have access to God. I sure am glad that we have that, especially when I have a need. I don't need an appointment. I can go to him at any time. Now, can I just encourage all of us here with this? Please take it as an encouragement and not a scolding, okay? Don't, I had the wording and then I lost it, but I'll just say it this way. Don't ever not use that access. Don't ever not use it. I mean, use it all the time. Talk with God all the time. Talk with him when you're driving in the car. Talk when you're walking on the sidewalk. Talk with him when you're, you know, in the shower. Talk with him anytime, anywhere, about everything and anything. Because he's given you that access. And to me, I think sometimes it would be a shame if we didn't use that access that he's given us. Have you ever heard the statement before, if you don't use it, you'll lose it? Use that access. God's made it possible for us. So use it and talk to God about anything and everything and anytime and all the time. So fruits of justification. First, peace with God. Second, access to God. Third, also in verse number 2, we have hope. by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, look at this, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I have this in your notes for you, but the unsaved man has no hope. He has no hope. Best he can have is right here on earth. And if it's not very good, I'm sorry about that, but that's all there is. Because when he dies, if he's unsaved, he's not going to go to heaven, that's for sure. The saved man, on the other hand, of course, we have hope. We have great hope. Now, again, we don't boast of anything we have done because it's not what we have done. It's according to his grace that he has saved us and given us this hope. Right at the bottom of that first page, in Romans 3:23, the unsaved are condemned because they have come short of the glory of God. Here in verse 2, it says the saved man can rejoice in hope of the glory of God. See? We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. It's something that you and I have, again, that the world can't understand. They'll never be able to achieve it on their own. It's something, again, that only comes by way of justification. I talked a lot this last Sunday about the resurrection and how churches all over the United States, and including here in Stoughton, were mentioning the resurrection and celebrating the resurrection and so forth. And think about, like I mentioned, the church right up here, the Lutheran church right up on the hill up here behind me, and how their parking lot was full. But how many of those folks up there really understand how the resurrection can help them or know the fruits of justification? How many of them? Now, there may be some, but I'm pretty sure the vast majority of them, because I was a Lutheran at one time. I know what this is like. We went to church on Christmas and Easter, and of course, in my family, we went every Sunday, but you know, people always show up on Christmas and Easter, but how many of them really understand and know and themselves enjoy the fruits that come because of justification? They don't. And do they have this hope? Do they really understand what the resurrection is all about and how it can really transform their life here on earth and their eternity after they die? I'm sure that the majority of them, they miss that. You know, it's like it's there, it's being talked about, but they haven't appropriated it and made it their own yet. Aren't you glad that we have that hope? We have that hope. I don't know about you, but when we were together on Sunday morning and we were singing the song, like, for instance, the one, Because He Lives, oh my heart was just about ready to burst because I was so excited, thrilled about the fact that my Savior's alive and that hope that is mine because of his resurrection and because of the justification that he's given me. It really has changed my life and my outlook about life and my outlook about eternity. So benefits or fruits of justification. Number one, we have peace with God. Number two, we have access to God. Number three, we have hope. Number four, this comes from verse 3 and 4, we have daily confidence. Now notice this and see how you relate to these words, would you? Verse 3. And not only so, notice what Paul says as he writes this letter to the Christians at Rome, but we glory in tribulations also. How you doing with that? If I'm honest, I'm looking at what he's writing here and I'm thinking, what? I'm sorry, Paul, I'm not there yet. I don't know, in my whole lifetime, I don't know that I've ever gloried in tribulations. I may have once, but it's not something that's regular with me. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation, and I have this in your notes, with Jesus worketh patience, and patience with Jesus worketh experience, and experience with Jesus worketh hope. I realize I've added some words there, but daily confidence. See, the Christian is not only to have confidence about his eternity, he's also to have confidence about his present life right here on earth. I'll let you look up James 1:3-12 later on. But the scripture here talks about glorying in tribulations. Notice it says in tribulations. in tribulations. The only way that can be possible is what I was kind of adding in there, and again, I have this in your notes. The formula for daily confidence and daily victory looks like this: tribulation plus Christ equals patience. Patience plus Christ equals experience. Experience plus Christ equals hope. Friend, you leave Jesus out of that, you'll never be able to do what is described here. Amen. Only Jesus Christ, included in all that, can make this possible. And not only so, verse 3 says, but we glory in tribulations also. I'm not going to do this, but sometime, thinking about verse 3 and 4 and what it says here, sometime go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul lists out all the trials and tribulations he went through during his public ministry. And you read through all that long list and you think, you gloried in all of that? It's only possible with Jesus. Amen? You'll not be able to do that on your own. Because humanly, here we are. Humanly, we grumble. Huh? We complain. We murmur. Humanly, we want to get out of the tribulation as quickly and as easily as possible. Sarah, how many times have you and I, and we did this with Bonnie Lewis, how many times have you and I walked away from someone who was dying, going out to the car after we'd visited with them and prayed with them? How many times have we walked out to our car and I made the statement, I wish there was an easier way for people to die?
Every time,
pretty much. Unless it's just, you know, boom, bam, quick. But the natural means of dying, you know, somebody's just, because of old age and heart failure and kidney failure and things like that, and you just kind of lay in the bed and hospice gets involved and you gradually fade away. So many, many, many times I've walked away from that and said to my wife, I wish there was an easier way for people to die. Now, it's not up to me, it's up to God, and I'm not trying to say he's doing a bad thing by the way he allows it. I'm not saying that at all, because God knows, okay? But how can you go through that if you don't have Jesus? I mean, as an observer, but especially as the person going through it. Man, I speak for you, I hope. I know I speak for me. I'm so glad I have Jesus. And I'm so glad, I've thought this many times, I hope it's true. There have been times when I've left the bedside of someone who's passing away and thought to myself, I wouldn't be surprised if they're already gone. You know, if their body's there and slowly winding down, but the person on the inside is already with the Lord. And, you know, you hope that's true, and you believe that that's true. But again, how do you go through that without Jesus? I'm glad I don't have to, because I have him, and he has me. We have daily confidence as we go through the struggles of life, the tribulations of life. We have confidence daily because we have the Lord. And that's really what Paul's describing here in verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Again, verse 3 and 4, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. So we have peace with God, we have access to God, we have hope, we have daily confidence, and then there's one more thing that's mentioned in verses 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and that is we also have, as a fruit of justification, the love of God. Notice verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because, here it is, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that amazing? Before we ever showed any favor toward God, God showed favor toward us. And by the way, it's his favor showed toward us that eventually won us over to where we said yes to him and showed favor towards him. Verse 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. The love of God. The love of God is revealed by God the Father when he sent his son to die on the cross for us, and then sends the Holy Spirit to, you know, first of all, convict us and save us, and then to live within us. Something that Jake and I talked about on Monday as we're going through these lessons for new Christians, and we were talking about the Holy Spirit of God, how he is our companion who never leaves. Boy, that's a wonderful truth. He comes to live within us, and he never leaves. It's all because God loves us. See? The love of God is revealed by God the Father when he gave his son to die on the cross, but also the love of God is revealed by Jesus Christ when he died for us. We were yet without strength, verse 6. We were ungodly. We were sinners, verse 8. We were enemies, verse 10. He saved us from the penalty of sin by his death. Verse 9, he saved us from the power of sin by his life. Verse 10, he reconciled us to God the Father. Verse 11, the love of God is revealed by God the Father, revealed by Jesus Christ, revealed by the Holy Ghost. Verse 5, the Holy Ghost within us pours out God's love to us. Have you ever sensed the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you in your heart? Now, I realize it's not an audible voice. I understand that. But you can almost hear his speaking to you, can't you? If you know him and if you're walking with him and you're close to him, you can sense his speaking to you about the fact that God loves you and cares for you and is going to provide for you and take care of you and guide you and so forth. The Holy Ghost within us pours out that love to us, and then through us to others. This is all part of the fruits of justification that you and I get to enjoy. So notice there, letter C, once again, the fruits of justification are, number one, peace with God. You have that? I hope you do. If you're saved, you do. Peace with God, access to God. What a wonderful thing to think that I can come to him anytime about anything, and his door is always open to me. Number three, I have hope. Hope. Every once in a while, we'll hear about somebody who, in desperation, takes their life in suicide. Christian, you have hope. You have hope to go on. You have hope to continue. You have hope that your Lord is with you, and he'll see you right through, right to the end. You have hope. You also had number four, daily confidence. Daily confidence. Yeah, it might be difficult for a little while, but it's all going to work out in the end. God's going to take care of that. He's going to see you through. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And of course, number five, you have the love of God, which, by the way, the Bible says passeth all understanding. And it'll keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The love of God. What a wonderful thing it is to be a Christian, to have these fruits of justification. Lord willing, next Wednesday night when we get back together again, we'll finish the chapter, verses 12 to 21, and we'll talk about, again, justification, but this time it's foundation. And hopefully you'll be reminded of some things. You maybe already know all these things, but to be reminded of these things again is always a good thing as well. The book of Romans is a very meaty, M-E-A-T-Y, meaty book, isn't it? There's so much there. There's so much there that reminds us of how wonderful it is to know the Lord as their Savior. And I hope you enjoy being saved. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for each one that's here. Thank you for the privilege that we have to know you as our Lord and Savior and to be justified, to be declared to be righteous. Now, Lord, as we progress in our sanctification, help Jesus to be seen in us, in how we live and how we behave ourselves, so that others might come to know Jesus as their Savior as well. Bless us, please, as we close this Bible study. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.